Hey, listeners, welcome to another episode of the Kids Ministry 101 podcast. I'm joined again today by two of my great preschool friends, Kimba Campbell from our Bible Studies for Life team here at Lifeway and Delaney Williams from our Gospel Project team. Kimba and Delaney, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, Chuck. Thank you.
It's so good to have you back. We talked recently together about the importance of preschool ministry. And today we're going to talk about the importance of helping preschool parents. Before we do that, though, sometimes we like to have just a little bit of fun on the podcast. And I know that you are not at all prepared for this. So this is totally spur of the moment. I'd like to know for the two of you, what is the earliest childhood memory that you have? How far back can you remember? Do you have one? And if so, what is it? I'm stalling just a little bit to give you a chance to answer. Early childhood memories. How far back do you remember? Who wants to go first?
Go ahead, Kimba.
All right, go ahead, Kimba. Let's hear from you, Kimba.
Well, no, I mean, Trevor, yeah.
Yeah, so I was born in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, but when I was little, when I was about one, we lived in Paris, Texas. And one of my earliest childhood memories is I remember our neighbors had a dog and I was terrified of this dog. I don't know. I don't even remember what the dog looked like, but I was terrified. And so every time we'd go outside and that dog would come out, I would just start screaming like and running. And we had like it was almost like this brick concrete thing that I would like climb up on. So I just remember that. I don't know why. And I'm not afraid of dogs now, but.
Well, that's kind of a scary memory, Kimba.
I know. I was just nervous, afraid. That is a sad memory. I need to think of a happy one.
Maybe it was traumatic. Clearly that made an impression on you. When you're little, dogs can be really big by comparison.
Yes.
Dudley, how about you? Do you have anything a little bit more happy?
I think. Yes. So this is probably around the 2-ish, 3-ish age. I grew up in Texas, in sort of like the Dallas-Fort Worth area. My grandparents, Winsett, lived about an hour away, and we would go down there a lot on weekends. And in fact, a couple weeks ago, I was talking to my parents about this. I still remember going down and collecting the eggs, you know, or whatever, whenever we would spend the night with my grandparents and stuff like that. On the farm, go out in the garden and doing some fishing. And so I think that's a happy memory, definitely. But just family type stuff and little odds and ends. You know, it's really unique sometimes whenever just randomly a thought or a memory may come back. But that was one recently that I remember from early childhood.
I remember going to visit my grandpa. This was in New York State, I believe, or Pennsylvania, I forget, somewhere up in that area where my family's from. And I remember riding on his tractor with him, and like on his farm in the garden. Now, in my mind, that was a really big tractor. As I look back now, I think it probably was more like a riding mower of some kind. But again, you know, like Kimba's dog, those big little things seem much bigger when you're little. Oh, how funny. Now, Kimba, you also, you're a mom. Delaney, you are not. So as we come to this conversation about helping parents, I think it would be really interesting, Delaney, to hear your perspective on how you can speak into the lives of parents as a single person. Kimba, how you can, from your own experience, relate to some things that parents, maybe first-time parents, are dealing with at home with their children. And so I think having both of you in this conversation is really a valuable one as we talk about how we can come alongside and help parents of preschoolers. So let's dive in. We have said in past episodes, but let's say it here as well. Sometimes when a young family has a child, that becomes a point when they return to the church. It's possible, right? We know that a lot of young people leave the church after high school and don't return until they have children. And so one bit of awareness that we need to have is that we may in our preschool area be welcoming couples back into the church who maybe have been gone for a while.
Absolutely. I think in preschool ministry, this was said earlier, but that you know, we have the great opportunity to minister to the preschoolers, to minister to the volunteers that are in our classroom, and to minister to those parents. So it is welcoming those parents, helping them feel loved, knowing, helping them see that their child is safe, that their child is in a great place, that their child is taken care of. Especially those first time parents that, you know, are a little hesitant. I know once you've had three kids, you're kind of like, here, go to the nursery, you're fine. But you know, those first time parents, they're a little hesitant on who are these people and do I know, can I trust them with my baby? You know, so just building that trust. Yeah.
And Kimba, I think too, like you were saying, especially those first time parents, we're seeing many first time parents wait maybe even a year before they bring their baby into preschool class. And so we want to make sure that we're building connections and relationships with them so they will feel comfortable trusting that their baby's needs are being met. And so they're going to bring their preschooler earlier. And so one thing that I have found that's been very helpful is making sure to begin that relationship with parents before the baby arrives, meaning while they're expecting a birth or by adoption, having an expectant parent ministry and really getting to minister to them, getting to know them, even doing a tour of the classrooms, letting them see all that, getting to know the teachers, letting them know who is going to be caring for their baby. Anything that we can do builds trust is going to be helpful with building those relationships with parents.
And we do talk about, you know, separation anxiety, often from the perspective of the child. We want to help the child feel safe, give them activities and things to do to engage them. But for those first-time parents carry, some of them, some anxiety of their own in leaving their child for the very first time. What can we do to help those parents feel safe in leaving them? You mentioned, Delaney, engage with them before the child if we have that opportunity. But what if they're just showing up and how might we greet them or speak to them or assure them at the time when they're dropping that child off?
Well, I think recognizing that some of them will have that anxiety and just being very personable, explaining to them what happens during that time. Of course, you're going to need to do it quickly and all, but even making sure, letting them know that, you know, you have their contact information, that if anything happens, that you will make sure to contact them, that you understand what their expectations are, you know, like immediately. If my baby cries at all, I mean, that's just one little example. I'm not saying you know, we know babies are going to cry a little bit, but, you know, helping them understand that we're going to work with them and all, and but being willing to understand that maybe they do have some of those concerns. Even I think like letting them know how you maintain that safe environment. And this may not be the best thing to do, like if they just showed up and drop off, but if they have questions, of course, answer them. But the fact of even explaining how you disinfect the toys, I know that may sound silly, but especially first-time parents or parents that are new to your ministry, they may not know how you do that. And so then they may just assume, well, they're never cleaned, you know? And so even helping them understand like what all goes on through the week to help prepare for that session.
And I think too, like hearing, you know, sharing with the parent, you know, what, whenever they pick up, you know, like how their child did, because one of my kids was one that cried every single Sunday. And I mean, I was the preschool minister. We were there like that. He knew the building, but he still cried. And it was helpful for me, for that teacher to say, you know what? They cried for about 30 seconds. And then once you were away, they ran off and started playing with the blocks or something. So when those parents pick up, I think it's important for that communication on this is what your child did. This is a friend that they met that they played with. Oh, they get to go play on the playground outside, and just assuring them that they were okay. I think Delaney hit it as well. There's some security in just knowing that we have their cell phones, that we can call them if needed. I think I've seen parents go, okay, if you've got my phone, then I feel safe because I know that you can reach me at any time. So just to assure them that, hey, we are there to support them, that we're a partnership with them. I think that that is key for parents to know that we are in this together, that, you know, it is a partnership, that we are there to help, you know, support them in their parenting in any way that we can.
I think one part, and an easy part to overlook, but I think something that's really important, maybe it exists in your church and you haven't had to think about it, but maybe it doesn't, is as a parent, when I remember dropping off my little ones for the very first time, it's really important that you have a room that people can see into. Right, because parents want to be able to do a little walk by. A lot of times they'll slip out from church just to kind of peek through the window, and they don't want to be seen, but they want to know that they can peek into the room and kind of see what's happening in there. So having a space that has, Deli, you talk a lot about things like this. Would you agree that it's important to have a space where you can kind of see what's happening in the room?
I think, like you were saying, parents, they do want to see that. And I think that's more for the parents than the children. Yep. The thing that I would caution about that is whenever a child sees a parent and then the parent runs off really quickly, tears start going. And, mm-hmm. you know, and then it's just hard for everyone, because for that child, that if the parent says, I'm coming back to get you, and then the child sees the parent and then the parent runs off, the child is thinking, wait, no, they're leaving me. You know, they're not understanding. They don't understand the concept of time. They don't understand, you know, it's just part through that. So I know some churches, there's like a one-way type window where the children in the room aren't able to see out. I know some people have had, because you always want a window where someone can see in from the outside of the classroom for security reasons. But there are other ways that maybe there is an observation type window where that can be seen, or even if a parent comes to a certain area and asks someone else to go and check on the child, you know, how are they doing? I know some churches are able to have video cameras in the classroom that are recording, and then so they have a central location where they're for parents to see, and they can observe without their child seeing that. But and just reassuring, like Kimba was saying, reassuring them what's going on during that time, that they're okay, that they're also, like she said, letting them know what's happened. And one of my goals is to say something positive about every child whenever that child leaves, because parents don't always hear the positive. And like Kimba was saying, especially parents of whose children have been crying, maybe that's all they're hearing is, oh, he cried. Well, like she was saying, focus on something that he did. And so that's going to help encourage parents to continue to bring their children and come back.
And another thing, if it may be helpful for the parents, like midway through the service, send them a brief text, you know, just say, hey, Susie's doing great. You know, it, just something so that when they're sitting in the service, that they're not constantly distracted thinking, okay, is my kid okay? Just getting that reassuring quick text. Hey, she's doing great. She's sitting and reading a book, or, you know, sitting on the floor holding a baby doll or whatever, you know.
So that I like, Deli, how you said have something positive to say, like at the pickup time. So I think those key times of like drop off and pick up, like those are the opportunities that we have that are very brief to have that face-to-face interaction, and for them to know that you know who their child is and that you know their child's name and that you can tell them something good that happened. Those are really strong tips. And to be able to reassure them that this is a positive experience. Now, let's talk a bit more about like when you send the children off. Oftentimes we'll have a craft, or we'll have a color sheet that the kids did, or something that we give to the parents. What kind of things do we need to be giving to the caregivers as they go home so that they can know what happened in church? Now, we all know, you know, with older kids, we'll say, what did you learn today? I don't know. You know, they'll have answers. Preschoolers may be better or worse at that. I don't know, but they're probably not over communicating about what happened or what they learned. How do we set parents up to know what happened in the lesson that day and to help them continue conversation about that, whatever the topic was, with their kids in the car and at home?
I think that's why it's so important to have a curriculum that you use in your preschool ministry. A lot of churches use it. A lot of churches don't use curriculum. And I just encourage you, if you do not use curriculum, to find something, because so much of the curriculum comes with take-home pages that you can slip in those diaper bags so that parents can see. I know with Bible Studies for Life, we have a take-home page that has the Bible story on one side, and then the other side is activities you can do at home with your child. So send them home, you know, with something, maybe a parent email that is sent out every week that says, this is what we studied, this is what we talked about. Oftentimes, some of the curriculum has, like, you know, door posters that hang on the doors. So when parents are dropping off, they see, oh, this is what my kid's studying today. So they know this isn't just a playtime, you know, that they are learning through play, but they're learning about these Bible truths and just the truths that they're bringing home.
I agree. And like Kim was saying, communicate in various ways too. Like if it's a take home, an email during the week, if your church has social media, doing things like that at the door poster, if they do have an art or a craft activity, even writing the key passage phrase on there or the Bible phrase or what the Bible story was. And, you know, there's always, whenever they do art, you never want to ask a preschooler, what did you do? You know, what is this? You must tell me about your picture. But a hint to help with parents is a teacher can say, tell me about your picture. And then you can write what the preschooler said, you know, what it's a picture of. And so that just anything we can do to help parents have those talking points or those starter points and all. And I think a lot of times it's parents maybe don't know how to start those conversations because it can be intimidating. So giving them those helps really go a long way.
So that would be go ahead, Kimba.
I was going to say one resource that we also have for all three curriculum lines is an at-home resource. So I encourage you, if you do not know about our at-home, it comes free with every purchase of curriculum with Lifeway. But it is phenomenal because it's a worship that you can lead with your family. You read the scripture, read a little devotional. There's the music videos on there, the Bible story videos that you can watch at home, discussion, and then some activities that you can do with your kid at home. So that's a resource that I'm very excited about. I love our at-home resources because it's, like I said, it's a partnership. It's a partnership between the church and between parents. And how can we best serve and minister and help your child develop and to grow as they get older, as they continue to grow.
Those at-home resources are really cool. They're free. If you use a Lifeway curriculum, you as the leader have access to a link that you can send out and share with your family so that they can have these discussions at home. And there are some things in there, some videos and some guides for activities and prayer prompts and things to do with your kids. So that's, if you're not aware of that as a leader who uses Bible Studies for Life or the Gospel Project or Explore the Bible Kids, you need to know about that. So that could be a good prompt for you. So yeah, Kimba, thanks for that reminder. Really, really strong resource that we have available to give to our families. So some of that is about what we're learning that week. Kimba, we also have something that not every listener may know about, and that's the levels of biblical learning. That's something that both of you have worked on over the years and used and taught about and understand really well. That levels of biblical learning talks about or identifies for leaders and for parents, age-appropriate language for how we talk about some biblical concepts to kids at different ages. And there are some printable resources and some booklets, things that you can get, booklets, posters, and downloadable printable things that we might do well to share with parents to help them not just with the weekly lesson, but to talk generally with their children with age-appropriate language about all kinds of biblical concepts. Tell us a bit more about what we might find for the youngest, parents of the youngest children inside the levels of biblical learning and where to find that.
So you can go to lifeway.com/ages and stages. And so that is there's 10 concept areas that are developed over time as a kid grows from birth through high school. So you can click on the certain age group of your kids. It also has some just brief characteristics. So for example, middle preschoolers, they're identifying some Bible people and stories. They're understanding that God, Jesus, and church are special. And then you can go through and click on each concept area that develops over the time. So it is an excellent resource. One book that I highly recommend for every parent, every volunteer, every ministry leader is the Ages and Stages book. And it's a discipleship framework for church and home and its birth through high school. So that also, it goes through the levels of biblical learning, but it also gives you activity ideas in order to be able to teach those levels of biblical learning in an age-appropriate way.
And that's a brand new book, hot off the presses, relatively hot off the presses, but yeah, and available at lifeway.com. So look for that there. Yeah, great resource.
Chuck, I think a great time to introduce the, like you're saying, the Ages and Stages, and maybe even gift it to your parents if you're able to, and the levels of biblical learning is during that time of parent commitment, baby dedication. A lot of times explaining that, I think that's a great time to get in at the beginning of that baby's life, and to where parents can see the importance of what their children are learning at those different stages.
What other resources might we recommend to parents of preschoolers? So a lot for some, you know, this may be their third or fourth child and they've got this down, right? And they understand child development and what to expect. For others who are maybe new parents, and this is their first child, what are some other resources that we might provide outside our weekly Bible study? How can we encourage and equip parents for success in helping their children grow spiritually?
I think Delaney touched on this a little bit, but through your baby dedication, I know, I think it's important before you do a baby dedication to maybe do a baby dedication class so they fully understand what does this really mean. And so especially, you don't know what kind of faith background that these parents might have. You want them to know that this is not a baptism for your baby. This isn't a way to save your baby. This is a commitment as a parent that you are making to raise your child, in the church and in a godly home. But I also think every church, it's important to offer parenting classes, whether that's a in-person parenting class, or maybe that's emailing parenting resources out to your church members. Help them to know that you are on their team. And I think anytime that you might see an article that's dealing with, development of a child or something, send that out to your parents and say, hey, this is a resource that an article I just read. I feel like that this might be beneficial for you. So just a continuing education for your parents as you were learning as a minister as well, as you're learning.
I would second agree with everything that Kimba said.
Yes, and.
And the fact that especially that baby dedication class, we did that where I served, or the churches where I served. And, and a benefit that we found after the fact, this wasn't a planned benefit, but something that was real neat, is we saw how the parents connected with one another. It was a smaller group. So maybe there was a family that wasn't as active in our church, but then there was another family that was very active and understand how this is an opportunity to connect with other families. And so they developed those relationships. And so that started at the class. But then when it came time for that dedication, it was like, oh, hey, how are you doing? They knew each other's names. They knew some of their stories. And so I think that's really neat. And like Kimba was saying, to use that time as a discipleship time. But something else that I did, and Chuck, you mentioned that I am not a parent and I'm single. And so, obviously that can sometimes be a challenge in preschool ministry. How do I connect with parents? And I would use that
time. But the reason I mentioned that is we have a lot of leaders who are in that, men and women, who are not married and who are ministering to families. And so I want to be careful in saying that, to say that gives you a different perspective that can be really, really valuable, and that listeners need to know that they're not in any way second-class leaders because of that status.
Yes, and I appreciate you saying that and clarifying it too, because I think if if leaders were completely transparent and honest. I went through a time like that too in ministry, to where it was the devil lies to you and says, how can you minister to these parents? You don't have that experience. How are you going to be able to build that trust and build, you know, how you don't have that experience? And it took a very good friend of mine just to speak very candid to me. And she said, none of the parents think that.
That's right.
That's Satan lying to you. And I mean, it was just, and she was one of our preschool parents. And she just told me, she was like, don't believe those lies. And so, and then I was like, I can't believe. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just amazing how Satan will do anything he can to discourage you. And so what I found was important is to get to know those parents, to build those connections, and then have few parents that, you know, have a good pulse on the other preschool parents, you know, that where they feel that they can come to you and they can be open with you and honest. And there would be times that I would run by, many times run by some parents that I trusted and saw the big picture, and would not just say yes, but would say yes, and maybe think about this, or no, there's no way that, you know, this is how that's going to be received and everything. So I would encourage, leaders that maybe aren't parents, or maybe their children are grown and, you know, they haven't been around preschool parents in a while, to do that, to really invest in those parents. Something else I would do during the baby dedication class was to share my story, share my testimony. And at first I thought, you know, does this really make a difference? But I have parents come up to me and say, you know, we appreciate you sharing that because we can see your heart for our kids even bigger. We know how God's prepared you for this. And what I found too was when I was willing to share my story, families were more willing to share their story with me, you know? And so it feels like you have more of a connection when you open up and you just share, you know, this is how the Lord's prepared me. And this is how I feel that he has called me to this church and to this role. And then they see your heart and all, and they support you and want to encourage you.
Wonderful. I think one, and thank you for sharing that. That's very valuable and really helpful perspective, Dalani. Thank you. I think there are three things that would be, and I'd like to hear you both speak to these three things that I think are easy things that we can encourage parents to do with their kids at home. Again, people are often intimidated to be the spiritual leaders of their own children for many reasons. And some of it could be the lies of Satan saying you're not qualified to lead your children spiritually. But I think with preschool is the time to start, right? If we can start parents on the practice of discipling their own kids when the kids are very little, that as the kids age, the parents will get better and more comfortable and more confident in that. So let me put these three things out there and let's have the two of you respond to them. I think three things that are really easy things to encourage parents to do with their kids is read, sing, and pray. Read, sing, and pray. Simple books, simple songs, simple prayers. How might those three things be helpful to parents? And would you have anything that you would add to that list?
I completely agree. Just, you know, getting the Bible open in these families, you know, there's so many great kids, Bible stories, Bible books out there. And yeah. One thing I did with my kids that was very helpful is, in the mornings, if we were running out the door, cause I worked. And so, you know, even when my kids were preschoolers, so we were often in the car and we would use that car time, to really like, I mean, I had some great, you know, music that was it, whether it's Bible verses that are set to music, there's a lot of great resources out there. But actually before we would leave the garage, I would, you know, buckle everybody in their car seats. No one can move. And I would keep a Bible like in my car and we would do a little Bible story in the car. Before we pulled out, we often did that. And, you know, using that car time, I know families are busy. You know, they're in the car often, but really using that car time to spend time in you know, teaching your kids, whether it's playing some music or praying in the car as you go. And then using the dinner time, I think, is another key time, or even bath time. That's another great time that you can really invest in your kids. So, you know, when they're sitting down, when they're in the bathtub playing, when they're sitting and eating, that can be some great times that you can really just have some great, just nuggets of truth invested into them.
I agree, Kimba. And like, I think to that, how we're talking about when you have their attention. And I think sometimes we think it has to be at this time and it has to be this long and it needs to have X, Y, and Z in it. And reality is it's going to look different for every family. And so you have to see what works when, you know, when can we work in a song here? Or like you said, while we're going in the car somewhere that you're singing songs, and we know that they love repetition as well. I think especially when praying, yes, have a certain prayer time, but then also pray throughout the day. We want them to see that we can pray throughout the day. And that's something that I remember my parents modeled for me in great ways. And even as an adult, I find myself, okay, you know, like praying throughout the day. And I see, okay, this is modeled for me at a young age. And so it was caught and taught, if you will. And so yes. I think that's important for our preschool families to remember. And then also just the fact of start while they're young, because if you get into a routine of doing that when they're babies, it's going to be much easier, or it's going to be easier to continue that routine rather than say, okay, we're going to start this when they're two. We're going to start this when they're three. First of all, you're losing valuable time, but it's going to become a family, something that's a family priority. And so, and realize that, you know, everyone's not going to be seated listening, you know, kumbaya type thing. It's that you may have them, you know, crawling around, walking around. That's okay. That's part of their characteristics. So to answer your question, Chuck, about all three, I'd say yes. And those are all great. You want to make sure that you have that. And then sometimes I think it can even be as older preschoolers, they can lead out in that. Their prayers, sentence prayers. Maybe there's a song, a simple tune song that they have learned at church that you can sing. Again, I know that's something we do with one of the gospel project in the younger preschool curriculum for several weeks. It's the same song and familiar tune. And so that's in reminding them of the key passage phrase. So little things like that are very helpful.
I love that you said like throughout the day, and that mm-hmm. the simplicity of that, you know, you're at the playground and, you know, you see a butterfly. Oh, thank you, God, for the butterfly. I mean, something so simple that's all you had to do. Thank you, God, for the butterfly, you know, but it's teaching them to acknowledge that God is our creator and that he is good, and that we're acknowledging thank you for these blessings. So I think I love that you said just like throughout the whole day, like keeping that conversation alive. And I know for me, it's an encouragement for me to go, okay, I need to be thankful and being grateful throughout the day. You know, if you can point out just the simple things. As adults, sometimes we're so boring, right? You know, you walk by a butterfly and you're just like, oh, there's a pretty butterfly or flower or something. You know, you don't think about it. And when you look through the world through a preschooler's eyes, it like makes you go, wow.
It's filled with wonder.
Yeah, it's filled with wonder. It definitely, I love teaching preschoolers because it does make you feel that wonder, get out of our boring adult heads into preschool world. It's fun.
Kimba Campbell, Dalady Williams, thank you both again for being back on the podcast. Listeners, thank you for being here. Listen, as you minister to preschoolers, it's important to remember that we do more than just minister to the children. We have a fantastic opportunity to come alongside and walk with, to encourage, to instill confidence, to equip for conversation, and to build in some really healthy practices with young parents and families. And so let's make sure that we're aware of that opportunity and that we lean in and engage engage with the parents, with the caregivers of the kids in our ministries as well. I want to encourage you to swing over to lifeway.com. There are so many. We talk about reading, singing, and praying with our children when they're little. There are so many wonderful resources, books from B&H Kids that I would love for you to go check out. You can find those over on lifeway.com, and make sure that your shelf has a bunch of really high quality Bible story books and things that you can share with your kids when it's story time and let them choose which one to read. Might be fun to peruse the website with your kids to pick out some books together. What a really fun thing to do. Listeners, thank you again for listening, and we are praying for you, and we want to encourage you as you serve the preschoolers and families in your ministry. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back again next time for another episode of the Kids Ministry 101 podcast.